Good morning. It's good to have you to be here this morning. It's a special, very special service. We've been hearing that. I was looking back through my file and the outreach work for the Mountjoy Congregation, and it dates back to 2008. When the first meetings were talked about, that was even before Jess was ordained, and we talked about that. I don't think it carried that meeting, but in 2018, so this is a work to a long, long work in progress. We welcome each one here this morning. I'm maybe a visiting preacher here, certainly welcome each one that we have, Brother Vince and family here, and Mark's, and Will's, and who else? Oh, Brother Tim is here. Welcome you to this. We're very privileged to have you all here. I would like to turn to Luke chapter 10. Brother Jesse referred to this as the opening service that I am going to preach from Luke chapter 10 this morning. And for a title for the sermon, I'm going to use the words in verse 3 where it says, "Behold, I send you forth." Luke 10, verse 3, "Behold, I send you forth." And I think at this time, we will ask those to lead us in the song, "Lord, I Shut the Door," first chapter, or our song,
"Lord, I Have Shut the Door."
We have shut the door, and the distractions of the morning will be focused in the Word of God. It is a privilege to, and with a certain feeling of humility, we see the advancement and accomplishment of this church. His kingdom is moving forward and will continue to move forward until He comes. We look forward to His coming, His return, and we're glad to be part of the kingdom work. In this passage in Luke chapter 10, it was the charge of the 70 disciples. In Luke chapter 9, we see the charge was given to the apostles, the 12 apostles. And in Luke chapter 10, we see that the 70 were given a charge. And in verse 62 of Luke chapter 9, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom." So these men were coming to the kingdom, and what they said that they can't, one said, I can't do it. I need to bury my father," and so forth. And Jesus said in verse 60, "Let the dead bury the dead." And then he said in the concluding statement, Jesus said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Then we go right into, I believe I'll read the first 24 verses of Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face unto every city and place whither himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come unto you, come nigh unto you. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out of the streets of the same, and say, even the dust of your feet cleaveth on us. We do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works that have been done in the entire Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld as Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and even all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your name is written in heaven. And in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of thy Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. This morning, brothers and sisters, in an overall snapshot of this passage, is the great manifestation of the New Testament, the gospel, being able and the life-changing force that it is. And we are here this morning and we are representatives of that gospel. These men were, these 70 men came and they were given this power over scorpions and so forth. And they were able to tread on serpents and so forth. I believe those were manifestations to the early church and the disciples that were following Jesus at that time. But I believe there's a number of principles that we can take from this as the 70 received them from Jesus. And I would like to look this morning at first at the imperatives of outreach. We are in outreach, and I'm blessed by being part of it. But I would like to just look at some basic principles that taken from this passage of Scripture, and maybe some practical points too that will help us in our outreach. Number one, believing in obedience of the gospel is the only way to have your name written in heaven. That's pretty basic, isn't it? That's pretty basic. But believing in obedience of the gospel is the only way to have your name written in heaven. Verse 20. No, that it implies that. It says that. And the man going up and down the streets in Adrian is facing the same situation, that the only way he can have his name written in heaven is by believing and obedience to the gospel of Christ. It is for everyone. It's a basic point, but dear ones, this morning, we need to reaffirm this in our mind that regardless if a Muslim comes or the inevitable argument will come that I am on my way to heaven too. I just am different than you. Well, we've allowed for some variations in practice and so forth. But the one thing that we cannot negotiate on is that the belief in Jesus and the sacrifice that Christ gave us is the only way to have your name written in heaven. Salvation full, salvation free, must come alone for thee. Another song said, is my name written there on a page white and fair? Is it? I challenge you this morning, if you're not quite sure your name is written over there, why, you will not be very successful. You will not be successful in outreach. We must first be definite and exclusive about our kingdom citizenship. And we can claim with boldness as we witness and we talk to people and that the kingdom of God is come nigh. Verse 9, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Dear ones, this morning, can you boldly declare that? Over in Acts it says, and I believe we read that this morning, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It is an exclusive promise, exclusive fact that you will not be saved outside of Jesus Christ. No one will be. And we need to keep this in mind as we are challenged about our lives and which way we're going, what we believe, what we believe. It is true that we are Mennonites, and I'm not ashamed of being Mennonites. In fact, I think probably the Mennonites have captured biblical obedience as good as anyone has, at least in our age, in the 2018, if you will. But dear ones, there's a lot of things go with the culture of Mennonitism, and we are not here to promote necessarily the culture of Mennonitism. You know, I think of the culture of Mennonitism. We think of prosperity and good cooks. We think of, you know, the many things that Mennonitism is. That what we are promoting the name of Jesus. The erroneous conclusion of much Protestant thinking is that Mennonites are a cultural entity. But I would like to say this morning that the Protestants also have another erroneous conclusion, and that is that biblical, literal obedience is an optional thing. And we believe that the gospel is to be obeyed. The word of God is to be obeyed. The gospel is to live out. And one of the reasons we promote outreach is that not to find cheap farmland, not to find a new job, not to be just creative. It's that we are living demonstrations of the biblical obedience. The gospel is so much more than just being called to be saved. We're thankful for that. Divorce and remarriage. We take literally the teaching on divorce and remarriage. We take literally the command to wash each other's feet. We take literally the fact that we're to greet each other with a holy kiss. We take the Bible as it is. We take the words of Jesus to mean something. They're not just to talk about concepts. We talk about practicality. We love our enemies. We cannot kill them. Why? Because we love Jesus and He loved us. He commended His love toward us. And now while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that changes us. But we're so thankful that Jesus is now at the Father's right hand interceding for us, making possible this life of obedience and discipleship. Therein lies discipleship in obedience. We want to know the Master's will. We seek it. That's why we come to church on Sunday. We want to hear the Master's will. I like what Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go there. Let's just go there and read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. He told the Corinthians, he said, "Ye are our epistle, known and read of all men." Wow. That is a powerful verse. You think that the people that saw the disciples then said they could see their heart? They could see that they had been, somehow had an experience? No, they were living out the gospel. They were living it out. They were not fighting. They were living in community with one another. They were at peace with one another. Their businesses, they could tell they were representing. They were an epistle. They were a letter written in our hearts. And everyone could see it, known and read of all men. That is why we call outreach the thing to do. That you live among the community and you demonstrate the biblical obedience. We believe, you need to believe and carry every precept and promise is to be obeyed. Jesus came to become the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Finally, He's coming for those that He is going to bring judgment on those that obey not the gospel and of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to take vengeance on those. Dear ones, we are called to be disciples of Jesus. We are called to be His workers. We are called to be His men, His church. Folks, are you ready for the challenge? Of course, we believe in through discipleship, that through discipleship and obedience that we will see a church community that works together, demonstrates the love of God to the people, the oneness that comes from a body working together, it is a solemn responsibility for you to live out your faith in the world today. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. And we could go there, we could talk about a lot of things. Brother Jess and Brother Brian, you have a big job to do. And leading this church, it's a solemn responsibility. And one of the things that is a reality, that the things that are bound here are bound in heaven. And the things that you loose here are loosed in heaven. So it's a big job. It's a big job. It's doable. It's doable. But it is a solemn responsibility that you address that fact. Number two, the gospel brings men to crisis. The gospel brings men to crisis. It says that in verse 3. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. We don't need to fool ourselves. The same devil that is part of our experience in Ohio is the same devil that's here in Michigan. And the devil has a vested interest in destroying this church. Let's just put it plainly. He has a vested interest in destroying the peace and the fellowship and the community of this church. He sends us forth. Jesus said, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Let's get it straight. We are lambs among wolves. We know how that is. I was once in British Columbia, and I saw the flock of sheep out there, and they had a bunch of great big billy goats running with the sheep, because sheep will gather together and flock together when they're in danger, and billy goats will charge the aggressor. So you can see that I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Lambs go for the slaughter. And that is what we are. We're among wolves in this world. I remember the gospel brings men to crisis. I was once in one lady came to church back home, and she started into discipleship, and she wanted to become part of the church, and we started instruction class, and she was really, really taken up with following Christ. And one day I got a call soon after on Monday about noon, and I had preached something about divorce that Sunday preceding that, and I said what God's position is on divorce, and she said, Brother Joe, I would like to come and see you. And so that evening she came, and Elaine and I sat down and talked with her, and she said, I want to tell you that I have been divorced and remarried. And so I asked God, you know, God, just tell me what to say. Tell me what to say. And so immediately, like a revelation of God, he said, well, read the scriptures. So I started at Mark 10 and verse 9. I went to Luke. I went to Matthew 19 and so forth. I read all the scriptures on marriage. And I was read 1 Corinthians 7, Romans 7, and probably read the scriptures for nearly a half an hour. And she said, I know what God wants me to do. And she said, but I would like to think about this for a day. And I said, sure. let's think about this for a day. So about the next day, she came and came back to get another phone call, and she said, you know, I'd like to bring my husband to talk to you. So she brought him, and he was a great big imposing man, about 6'5", and had a lot of areas where you would think, oh no, I have to testify to this man. So I did the same thing. I read the Word of God. He was taken up, and she was too. They were both interested in this, and he said, well, in practical way, what does this mean? And I said, the Word of God says it is adultery to be married if you were married to another, to be married to someone else. And adulterers, well, sad to say, but they, you know, they cannot be in heaven. And he looked at me and pointed his finger at me, and he said, preacher, you stop talking. You stop talking. And I said, okay, I will. I will. And he was angry. He was angry. But the fact is that the gospel brings men to crisis. It brings you, and it brings everyone to a place of crisis. You remember the crisis you were in before you came to Jesus. Before you came to the Lord. The gospel brings men to crisis. Apostle Paul was testifying to King Agrippa one day, and he said, King Agrippa, Apostle Paul read the scriptures to him, and I believe it says that, you know, he was testifying to him. And King Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Apostle Paul said, would to God that almost all would hear me this day would be not almost, but altogether a Christian. Gospel brings men to Christ. Let's realize that we cannot be. True gospel brings men to Christ. We cannot be buddy-buddy with everybody. We cannot go down the road of your, you know, we believe this and you believe that. We'll all get to the same place. Dear ones, the Bible says that those that obey Him have eternal life. Let's keep that in the back of my mind. Let's keep that in the back of our mind this evening. Thirdly, the gospel causes rejection. We see in that verse 10, and they receive you not, but into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not. They didn't like Jesus. They're not going to like the gospel. They're not going to like you. I'm taking too much time on these points, but let's get it straight. The gospel will cause rejection. There's not a lot of people like to hear the gospel. There is only a few that will be saved. Fourthly, the New Testament takes a superior position. And I think that is probably one of the most important aspects of this scripture in Luke 10 that we need to understand. It says here that you go out and testify, and they, you know, they don't receive you. You need to tell them that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you, verse 12 then, it says, "But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city." And then it says in verse 13, "Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida!" Those were current cities of where the gospel was being spread by these 70. And then it says that if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. It is very important that we remember that that Sodom was in the Old Testament. That's an Old Testament account of Lot. And Tyre and Sidon was Nineveh, or I believe anyways, Jonah. But woe unto thee, Chorazin and Bethsaida. They were current towns under the preaching of a New Testament message of the gospel. And if you turn away from the New Testament preaching of the gospel and Jesus Christ's work, you are going to experience the accountability like no one else in previous generations have. We have the New Testament this morning. We can go to 2 Corinthians 3. We can go to Hebrews 12 and prove that it is far superior. The Bible is not a flat Bible. The New Testament takes superiority over the Old. We need to remember that as we witness, that you will face that, especially with Protestant teaching. But dear ones today, let's remember that the New Testament is superior, and its precepts are binding on us as a people of God. It's here to preach and teach the New Testament. I would like to look now at the practical realities of outreach. The practical realities of outreach. Number one, the harvest truly is great, and the laborers are few. The people that are willing to take up kingdom work are very few. Most of us plain people, we like to stay in our large Mennonite communities. You know why? Well, I'm not sure quite why, and I hate to say, but there's a lot of security there. Security in jobs, security in, you know, we have a nice school, we have a big youth group, we have a big church. There's a lot of security. To go out and witness in a small Mennonite community, you become vulnerable. We become vulnerable. I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Point two here. I send you forth as lambs among wolves. You need to realize that to be effective, you will need to expose yourself to vulnerabilities. We do have the power of the gospel. I found it very interesting, this passage of scripture. I never had thought about it much before, but he said, verse 18, and he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." I believe that in Jesus' resurrection, something happened to Satan. That Jesus ascended up into heaven, and something happened to Satan. And it says in John 12:31 that the prince of this world is now cast out. And I'm not sure what all happened, but there was something special. The power of Jesus going back to heaven limited the fact of what the devil could do. So that's a whole subject in itself, and I'd love to discuss that. I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Number three, in a practical way, respect colloquial hospitality and sensitivities. There is a culture in each community. Respect that. When you ask for cottage meetings, respect their answer. They want you to come, go. If they don't want you to come, don't go. respect hospitality and the sensitivities of the people here in this area. Number four, become habitual in your dependence on the Holy Spirit and the Christian community. You got each other. You got the Holy Spirit. What more do you need? Be adaptable. Engage the community. Seek for places to spread the gospel, preach the gospel. Are there community centers there you can spread the gospel? Are there old people's homes? Are there universities where you can have street meetings? Are there other places? Become habitual in your dependency on the Holy Spirit and the Christian community to find a place to live. Fifthly, understand and respect resistance to the gospel. We talked about that before, but understand and respect resistance to the gospel. Go your ways. You are sent forth as lambs among wolves. And finally, bottom point of the message, don't gauge the success of Lenawee County Mennonite Church by the results that you can see. Let's look at verse 20. And I think this is probably the most powerful point we can make in this subject. Verse 19, he said that they have power over serpents and scorpions and power over all the enemy, and nothing showing me means hurt to you and so forth. But Jesus said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. That the spirits are subject unto you. You know, I've preached at quite a few revival meetings, and there seems like some revival meetings you don't have much response. Other meetings you have a lot of response, and you kind of think, wow, I really did a good job there. But the reality is that response is not... The response you get is not what you gauge it by. You gauge your success by. What do you gauge your success by? You rejoice because your name is written in heaven. This morning, be faithful. Spread the word. And if a year from now you see no results, keep spreading the word. Don't rejoice because even the spirits are subject to you. Even if you can tread on scorpions, those kind of things, you rejoice because your name is written in heaven. This morning, are you ready to take up the cause of outrage? I trust you are. But you rejoice because your name are written in heaven. Jesus said, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Eternal Father, we come to you today. We just ask you that you would be our portion. We pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us to many things, would give us the assurance that our name is written in heaven. Lord, we pray for that. But more than that, we pray for a powerful witness in this community. Give us all an unction from on high and a willingness to witness. We pray that you would be with Brother Vince as he faces that daily. Lord, just help us all to be a witness in this dark and sinful world. We know that you are coming back, and those that obey not the truth, you are taking vengeance. You are going to take vengeance on them. What an awful thing. Lord, just give us a passion, a love for the lost, Give us a love like you. You loved us when we were animals. And we loved you because you first loved us. Pray for this group. Pray for us that are traveling today. That you would keep us safe. Pray for the fellowship around the Lord God. Around the community here this afternoon. That be that brings you honor and joy. We ask this all in Jesus' name.